This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hey, good morning to you. Welcome in on a Monday morning, 10th day of the month. Beautiful sunshine out there. Even though it's in the 20s, and we are in for a little bit of snow here at some point this week. If you've been paying attention to Dave Murray's forecast, Dave not willing to go out and say what's going to happen Wednesday, is he?
Well, that usually means it's a bad thing. Maybe not usually. Too bad, but I mean, it's kind of like the other weather storm that we just had, which obviously it sounds like it's going to mean nothing in comparison to this one. But remember, he was saying that that one was unusual because it was so unpredictable. It was taking so long to get to this area with the winds and the direction of the winds and all the things that it was almost like a toss-up as to how things would actually happen, you know, how much snow we would get and how much ice and which parts would see which one more so than the other.
And Weather Channel's saying it might just go north of us, too, so...
That's why they're being cautious. Don't want any invoices from the people who have to go out and buy all that salt. I think Mayor Jones will be out there personally scraping some streets this weekend because election time is coming up. So she's going to be out there doing that and trying to avoid the problems she had from that last snowstorm, I'm willing to bet. Anyway, glad you're with us. Kim St. Ange, Carl Middleman, Sue Thomas in here. And we will get to Sue here again in just a few minutes to find out if you're having any traffic problem. Maybe some sunshine slowdowns out there. I don't know. Jesse Jane Duff is coming up. I want to talk to her about all these executive orders. They just keep coming. Donald Trump is now ordering the Treasury Department to stop making pennies. We talked about that. Was it last week or the week? I think Jay Gow talked about it one day when he was in here filling in about what that costs. It costs us to produce pennies, but it might cost consumers more if they do away with pennies because prices are going to go up, is the belief.
They won't round down.
Yes, they're not going to round down if it's $2.99 for a product. You know, they wouldn't do that anymore. So it would be it wouldn't be $2.95. They'd probably go to $3 or something. They would round up. So I don't know how you feel about that. We'll talk to Jesse Jane about the president being at the Super Bowl this weekend. Tom Ackerman will be in to talk more about the game itself at the bottom of the hour. But right now, let's get to our top stories.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
Donald Trump was elected in an overwhelming landslide. These are Donald Trump staffers. In the sense, it's like saying that Mike Walls, the national security advisor, is unelected, or Susie Wiles, the chief of staff, is unelected.
Yeah, Stephen Miller out making the argument this weekend that these complaints about Elon Musk are really unfounded. He's just somebody else working for the president, carrying out his wishes.
I've instructed him, go into education, go into military, go into other things as we go along. And they're finding massive amounts of fraud, abuse, waste.
Yeah, President Trump saying, listen, Elon's covering all the bases. I can't believe how quickly they moved, but they're going to look and see if the military's wasting any money. There always need to be audits there. And the Department of Education coming up next.
He is doing, in the eyes of the public, what he said he would do in the campaign. There's political value in that. In fact, 70% of people say he's doing what he promised.
Yeah, that's a CNN report out there. I'm sorry, a CBS report. I said it again. Margaret Brennan having that conversation this weekend, and she couldn't believe it. Like, she's like, what in the world is going on here?
Not meeting benchmarks when it comes to arresting undocumented immigrants and deportations. Nationally, more than 8,000 people have been arrested since Trump's inauguration.
Yeah, that's a Channel 4 report that happened over the weekend. Talking about the fact that effective tomorrow, see, today's the 10th, effective the 11th, a number of Hispanic restaurants serving Mexican food, we refer to it, you know, El Magway and some of these places as Mexican food restaurants, are going to close their doors for a week. Now, some have said they're only going to close for 3 days. I could be wrong. I would say Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday are probably the slowest restaurant days of the week, generally speaking, so you're not really sticking your neck out if that's what you say you're doing. But they want the community to feel the impact of a lack of Mexican food being available to you in reaction to Donald Trump's illegal immigration crackdown. Did I explain that properly?
I don't understand why these restaurants feel like they have to do this. If they're only hiring legal people, which clearly they're not, then why would there be such a big concern? ICE isn't going after legal immigrants. They're going after illegals, primarily who have committed crimes. So yes. I don't get this. It seems like it will only hurt the business. And it also tells me, man, how are you planning to pay your staff? So either you're terrible and you're forcing your staff to not get paid for a week, or you've decided to front the money yourself for their salaries for a week, which, depending on how many employees you have, some of these restaurants are big and that would be a lot of money. So clearly you are somehow strapped with a lot of cash to be able to afford that.
Yeah, here's part of the explanation by one of the restaurant owners. Hang on.
Sam, La Tejana Taqueria is one of at least 28 Hispanic-owned businesses around the St. Louis area that will close for a week starting Tuesday in hopes the community will see the value of immigrants.
Our community is scared.
That fear is why Antonio Garcia, the owner of La Tejana Taqueria in St. Anne, is standing in solidarity with the Hispanic and immigrant community. Garcia is leading the charge of at least 28 Hispanic-owned businesses around the St. Louis area, closing their doors starting Tuesday.
So my comment on this is, first of all, it's an attempt to blur the issue again. Because this is not about immigrants. We are a melting pot. This is not about anybody disliking immigrants. I love my huevos rancheros as much as anyone else. I have relatives who moved here from Mexico. That's not what this is about. It's about legal immigration versus illegal immigration. And 4 years of the Biden administration made people realize how bad that problem is, and Donald Trump, he campaigned on a promise to fix it, and he's in the middle of fixing it. Mm-hmm. And you can try to wring my emotions all you want by watching people cry when their loved one is getting arrested, but that's like knowing somebody robbed a bank and then being sad when the cops come to arrest them. You made the decision to come here illegally. If you then committed a crime, there's a good chance ICE is looking for you right now, mm-hmm. because they're prioritizing people who already have orders of deportation.
Yep.
If you don't currently have an order of deportation, you've got a little bit of a window in which you can take some corrective action.
Mm-hmm. I don't think, hopefully people can go a few days without having to eat out at a Mexican restaurant. But I think what this will do is it's going to hit the empathy chord for a lot of people,
yes.
women in particular, saying, I can't believe you're forcing these businesses to have to close,
yes.
and employees maybe not getting paid. That's what could be effective. Now, do I think this is going to create some community uprising that they likely want? I'm not sure. People will complain about it on social media, but are we going to see some widespread, like a formal protest where they're marching in the streets? And even if they did, would that really be effective? No. ICE is going to continue doing what they're doing because that's the mandate from President Trump. We're sick and tired of illegals coming in and just it's assumed that they're fine and that it's, you know, come on in, use our resources, get on our federal benefits. No problems here. But yeah, to our homeless veterans here in the area that were born here and are citizens, sorry, but you're not going to get the free stay and the really nice hotel and the food and the debit card and the phone, all that nonsense.
It's true. Get ready. You better go out and get you some refried beans and some eggs. Well, the eggs are expensive, but the huevos rancheros are not going to be available the next few days, just so you know. So I wanted to alert you about that. So there you have it. All right, coming up, we're going to get to Jessie Jane Duff. We'll get her take on Donald Trump at the Super Bowl.
So I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Almacid, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Almacid has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Almacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almacid.com. That's almased.com.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yesterday.
You know, the Prime Minister said this weekend to a group of Canadian businessmen, he was at a private meeting, he said that your wish for Canada to be the 51st state is a, quote, real thing. Is it a real thing?
Yeah, it is. I think Canada would be much better off being a 51st state because we lose $200 billion a year with Canada, and I'm not going to let that happen. It's too much. Why are we paying $200 billion a year essentially in subsidy to Canada? Now, if they're a 51st state, I don't mind doing it.
I am hard, but I am fair.
Good morning, motivator.
From now on, you will speak only when spoken to.
Take the hill. We got a long week.
Jessie Jane, what do you think about the real estate chief there playing games with Canada?
Well, if they all register Republican, I'll be happy. But
highly unlikely.
I'm very nervous about them because, you know, these are the kings and queens of socialized medicine, socialism, period. Hey, let's just seize your bank account if you don't wear a mask or want to get the COVID shot. Let's shut down farmers. Like, my goodness, they have very loosey-goosey immigration policies. I don't know. You know, I love President Trump, and I will always say this. I never know how good he is till he always proves me wrong.
I know.
Because the fact of the matter is that he has a vision. He understands how economics work, and he understands that when a country is costing you more money than it's worth, hey, why not just bring them into the fold so that you're not worrying about the tariffs? And honestly, once they make Canada great again, they will love being the 51st straight. Because you know what? There's nothing like economic prosperity to shut your haters down.
I'm with you.
There's nothing like that. Yeah, except for the few billionaires running around like Bill Gates who still want us to eat bugs and, you know, take all the vaccines out there. But, you know, ultimately, most people, the blue-collar, middle-class, white-collar even, anybody who's not a multimillionaire understands that economic prosperity definitely impacts their wallets, and they want that. Everybody agrees on that.
Yeah, I agree. You know, they gave some statistics over at CBS this weekend, and Margaret Brennan did not appreciate it very much at all. Go to cut 12, Forrest Carl, please.
What about the actual policies?
Well, let's start with the ones that are popular. And again, these echo a lot of what we saw in the campaign. The idea of deporting those in the country illegally continues to be popular. We saw that in the campaign. Sending troops to the U.S.-Mexico border. Again, majority in favor. We'd seen that in the campaign. For his supporters in particular, the focus on ending DEI is popular. We had seen in the campaign a lot of them thought those processes had gone too far.
This is killing Margaret Brennan to sit there and listen to this guy talk about the fact that Trump's doing what he promised to do, and the public is congratulating him for it. They're supporting him.
Well, I think Margaret's going to have a stroke this week, and then they're going to accuse it of being an assault, you know, like they did with the poor police officer that died after J6. They blamed him for being hit with a fire extinguisher. But she's going to be, she'll probably have a stroke out on this. Like, they just can't get their heads around. And, you know, when you find out that USAID was basically funneling money to all of these left-wing news outlets, it's not a surprise now that they've all been brainwashed to support the leftist ideology that they kept spewing out with a straight face. Like, they literally will focus with a straight face, and they will say, but it's not bad to have illegals. And listen, there was a guy on the train coming in from Baltimore, and he had a MAGA hat on, and a woman, I saw this on Twitter, and a woman got very upset with him, a white woman, and she was very upset. She says, you know, you like what this man has done? It's only week number two, mind you. He's deporting everybody, and my nanny is living in fear. And he said, really? He said, your nanny? He says, you know what? There's laws against slaveholders like you in this country. And essentially, she got so upset, she went and sat in another seat. And then he showed his photo. He was an African-American man wearing a MAGA hat. And he called her out, like, you are upset. Your nanny that you're paying under the table, you're not offering any benefits to. If she gets a work and she gets no workman's comp if she's injured on the job, you are admitting you're paying this woman illegally. Why wouldn't you want to pay somebody legally? Oh, because it costs you more. People don't understand that illegal immigration is a $10 billion industry. And that's before Joe Biden took office. So when you've got Republicans that are squishy on it, just follow the money. They're profiting. They have people donating to their campaign. Maybe some of these chicken poultry plants. Remember, it was a red state that got busted with all of the illegals during the Trump administration for hiring illegals. So you look at all of that. Where is the money coming from? They profit off the women and children, illegal, human trafficking, sex trafficking, and, oh, by the way, cheap labor.
Yeah.
So, you know, here we are. Canada, you know, you can come here legally and you can work and you can have economic prosperity. I'm all for it, you know. And I've heard their syrup is good, but I'm not going to be buying any anytime soon.
What do you think about
syrup and lumber?
The syrup, yes. We would like some of the syrup here. What do you make of this whole situation with Gaza? Because I was listening this morning on the show that comes on before ours, just talking about how Trump is serious. He wants to take control of Gaza and that he'd even be open to the possibility of some of those people coming here, the Palestinians coming here to the United States, you know, there obviously there'd be some sort of a vetting process.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to see any Palestinians coming here. That's the reality of it. But he's showing that, keep in mind, Muslims supported President Trump. He had a Muslim mayor in Detroit, Michigan support him, and the community came out. He has to show that he is going to be embraceive to those that want to have American ideals and support America first. Now, here's what it boils down to. How much has Gaza cost us over the years? How much has this dispute cost us? I believe that he has a plan inside of his head, which only he has, that could actually stop this flow of money that has gotten us nowhere to endless battles, endless wars. There has never been a two-state solution, despite how many times they scream for it. They don't want it. They want to obliterate Israel. And he's going to force the hand of those Muslim countries that have been beneficial to the United States to start taking in those refugees. He's going to force Jordan. He's going to force Egypt. He's going to force Saudi Arabia. Because you can't sit there and scream at us if you're not going to be part of the solution. Otherwise, you're part of the problem. So the best part of this story that we're watching, it's a movie. And we're not near the end yet. We're only in the first 15 minutes, and I'm kind of excited because I can't wait to see how this all goes down, because I will never, ever try to be the card reader of President Donald J. Trump. He's always had a plan way ahead of me. That's why he is president, and I'm just a morning host every Monday. Oh, by the way, I spoke at a National Federation Republican Women's event in North Carolina, and a woman walked up to me. She goes, you know what? I came here from St. Louis. I love you on Mark Cox. And I was like, wow. I said, I have a fan. She goes, that's the best show, and Mark is the best. I thought I'd pass that on to you.
Did you hug my mom before she left?
Oh, that was not your mother. You know, she was around my age. But I will say this. She just said she loved the intro that you always give me, the I am hard, but I am fair.
Jesse Jane, have a great week.
All right, motivators take the hill. Guess what? We planted our flag on top. Let's enjoy the view.
Amen. We're going to be back with the Tom Ackerman, bottom of the hour. Stay tuned.
You said after Super Bowl 57, you sat in the locker room and you thought to yourself, I'll be back. You got back, and now you're a champion. How does that feel?
You know, God is good. He's greater than all the highs and the lows. And I think, personally, myself, I've just been able to use every experience and learn from it.
a great sports mind like Tom Ackerman.
Baseball's really not a hard sport.
It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
It's like powered by coffee this morning.
Sports, sponsored by McDonald's, reminding you to round up your total for Ronald McDonald House Charities on your next order.
Tom Ackerman, Jalen Hurts put on a football clinic last night, didn't he?
I love that Jalen Hurts.
Wow.
Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, Patrick Mahomes, you know, all these names, all these great quarterbacks that get a lot of attention. Jalen Hurts goes in there and he takes the biggest prize of all, the Lombardi Trophy, Super Bowl MVP on top of it.
Yes.
And a win for the Eagles over the Chiefs in Super Bowl 59. And he was great, but the entire team was great around him as well. The Eagles defense was unbelievable last night. I mean, this game is won on the offensive and defensive lines, always. It's always won at the line of scrimmage. And the Eagles totally get that. Their offensive line and defensive line,
massive.
Two of the best in football.
Their offensive
line's amazing. They open holes for Saquon Barkley throughout the year. And this time, the Chiefs took a gamble. We knew they were going to do this. They made sure they contained Saquon Barkley, and they said, Jalen Hurts, you try to beat us. We're going to stop your all-pro, amazing running back. And Hurts took the ball and said, okay, I will. And he just distributed the ball around. He got protected. He found Goddard, the tight end. He found Brown, the wide receiver. He found Smith, the wide receiver. He was distributing the ball incredibly well. He ran it 71 yards. He was great. And you know what? He operated with some shorter fields. It was all around a great game by the Philadelphia Eagles in all phases.
You predicted that, by the way. You on our show, you are on this. It was like last week, I think. You said the Eagles will win.
I thank you. I felt strongly about it. I just feel like they're the better football team. Watching them all year, they dominate the line of scrimmage, and I worried about the Chiefs' ability to stop the pass rush. Do you know that the Eagles did not blitz one time the entire game? Not once. They basically rushed with four, and they found holes through the offensive line. And, you know, the Eagles smashed the Washington Commanders in the NFC Championship game. I mean, they scored 55 points on them.
Yes.
They're a really scary team when they're all going at once. And it's exactly what happened last night. They just had it all going at once, and the Chiefs couldn't handle them. I mean, 40-22, and it was not that close, as
no,
we all know.
No.
They scored two late touchdowns, and they were up 34-0. I started to look up, you know, what was the lowest scoring output by a team in a Super Bowl? And the last was the Los Angeles Rams scored 3 points. No team had ever been shut out in a Super Bowl, but the Chiefs were able to cobble together some points. But that was a fantastic performance. And by the way, Jalen Hurts is a great guy. I mean, you heard the interview right there. That guy's been through some stuff. Now, he's a wonderfully talented guy, played for his dad in high school down in Houston. Then he got recruited by, like, everybody, and he ended up going to Alabama. He started for Alabama as a freshman, and he took over the job. And then, if you recall, he led the team to the college football playoff, took them eventually to a national championship game, and got benched in the middle of the game. Tua Tagovailoa took over the game and won it for Alabama. So the next year, guess who sat on the bench as the backup? Jalen Hurts. Came back, and whenever he was called upon, he played great, but he was the backup quarterback. So, and I don't blame him for this, he transferred to Oklahoma. And what did he do? He took Oklahoma to the college football playoff as the starting quarterback down there. And then he goes to the Eagles, which, you know, there isn't a fan base that is tougher on you than
more
them.
More rabid, yes. Yes.
They went to the Super Bowl 2 years ago with him. Played an amazing game. He played a great game. It's just that Mahomes and the Chiefs found a way to win it, barely. And Hurts gets criticized a ton in Philly. You know, oh, he's only good because they have a great team around him, or he doesn't do this, or he doesn't do that. Well, guess what? He walked away with the Super Bowl championship, and I thought a total class act. He would never call out, I haven't heard him, call out the fans. He just smiles and says, you know, God is good.
Laughs all the way to the bank.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's cool.
It is. You know, when they had the statistic up on the screen, I want to ask you about the graphics in a minute, but when they had the statistic up on the screen about the offensive line for the Eagles, I think it said they were the biggest in the NFL. Like, they were They were all at least six inches tall
and
330 pounds. Like, there's nobody on the line smaller than that.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
No, it's awesome.
Mahomes didn't have that. I mean, he was getting pressured all the time.
He was getting pressured, and they had one injury, so they had to move some guys around on their offensive line. But they've been able to get away with it because they're so good. I mean, they have, you know, Mahomes makes plays. Kelce makes plays. Kelce didn't have a catch until the third quarter. You know, they had zero running game. You know, they were just trying to fling it out there and figure out a way to beat this Eagles defense. And when they did, I mean, Mahomes never gets intercepted. Got picked off, run it back for a touchdown, got intercepted again. It was just a phenomenal job by the Eagles. They were well coached. They were prepared. And they played a great, great football game with that massive line blocking for the offense. But the defense found ways to slip in there and make plays as well. It was really, really impressive. By the way, in our house, my wife grew up in Philly. So
we're
divided pretty happy.
House.
No division.
No. Well, you're a Chiefs fan,
no,
right?
No, I am not.
Oh, you're not. I knew you were said that the Eagles would win. I didn't know you're not a Chiefs fan. Do you actively root against them if they're playing in the
I don't root against them. Whatsoever, but I am not a Chiefs fan. I actually don't have an NFL team, but for that game last night, we were an Eagles household, me and
that's
Andrew
right.
grew up
Absolutely.
In Philly, so we're pretty happy about that.
The TV graphics.
Yeah.
When I'm sitting there and the game first comes on, I was looking for what down it was. I was arguing with somebody, and that's when I first noticed. I'm like, I feel like I've been taken back in time to the 1980s and some old-fashioned Chiron generator that they used to put the score at the bottom with a basic color over here and a basic color over here and like a New Times Roman font. It looked awful. Why in the world would they do that with the technology?
I'm not really sure why they did that, especially why would you do it and debut it in the Super Bowl, I was explaining to my friends who were complaining about it that there are a lot of non-sports fans watching this game. Like this, for a lot of people, it's the only sporting event they watch all year.
Yeah.
So maybe they just, you know, threw it out there trying to think of something simple for everybody to follow, and it kind of backfired on
them. It should have said TBT on it, Throwback Thursday or something, right?
Yeah.
It was that old.
It covered a lot of the field, I thought, too.
Yeah.
The other thing was I heard a lot of my friends were texting me about Kendrick Lamar's halftime saying, I'm trying. I just don't get it. I'm trying. I was cleaning the kitchen at that time.
I got up and left, too.
I find that halftime is my chance to, you know, clean up. And I made some good stuff last night.
Oh,
stuffed baked potato with chorizo.
Nice.
That sounds really good.
Roasted pork tenderloin with some veggies. Anyway, I heard the music, though, in the other room because my daughter, Erica, loves Kendrick Lamar and especially SZA, the St. Louis-born SZA, who probably made the halftime a lot better after Kendrick.
She did when she took over. Even if she was lip syncing, it sounded better.
But anyway, you know, it is what it is. I'm more of a give me the football. I kind of avoid all the hype and the halftime and everything else. Just give me the football, man. Best players going up against the best players. But it was a really, you know, good matchup on paper. It just turned out to be a blowout, and the Eagles are the champs, and deservedly so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would have taken Janet Jackson last night over one.
I would have taken Beyonce in that.
The halftime needs a little controversy, you know, needs a malfunction or a bad word being said or something. It needs something to spice it up, I guess.
You know, Mizzou, I know you have to go. You okay?
Yeah, I got to go interview Lutz, Fan and Steel here at 8:45.
Sorry about that. I was going to ask you about that Mizzou loss to A&M. It was a close one.
Really good basketball game.
But a great basketball game.
Yeah, Mizzou's going to be in the tournament and will be a tough out in the SEC tournament. Too. SEC's open, baby.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, baby. Florida beat Auburn. I saw that Duke lost to Clemson. You know, it's going to be a good March Madness. Is going to be fun.
It's going to be crazy.
All right, I'm going to roll.
Thank you, Tom.
Great to see you guys.
Yep, yeah, we appreciate it. Thank you. Yeah.
It was a good game. I watched that one we caught it. We forgot it was on, so we caught some of it and we're screaming at, you know, my husband's like screaming at the TV because he went to Mizzou, too. And it's just so disheartening. And I know that Texas A&M was ranked higher, not by much. They're 10, Mizzou's 15 right now. But we just came off that awesome win. And so I just was so hopeful. And I remember listening to the announcers, I think it was maybe at that game. And they're like, you know, I can't imagine 10 teams in the country that are better than Mizzou, even though they're ranked 15th. They are just a really, really great team.
They're playing
this year.
Well right now without like any superstars.
Well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think it was just a bad game. I did see that they were, you know, they had the rank, what they think that they're the how they're going to be rated, you know, like 1 seed, 2 seed, all that stuff for March Madness, and Mizzou is not, you know, 1 or 2, which is to be expected. But I still.
You mean in the seed?
Yeah.
Yeah, the seeding. Yeah, I saw that. They were a little lower, but.
I mean, that's to be expected, but I still think they have a shot.
It's better to have a lower seed if you're a team like Mizzou in this tournament, because you're going to shock the hell out of some people. They're going to go into the game thinking, well, we're only playing the 9 seed, and Mizzou's playing like gangbusters.
I think they'll be a 3 or don't you think they'll be a 3 or 4 seed?
I don't know.
At the very least.
I guess it'll depend on their record at the end of the season.
I don't know.
SEC teams are beating themselves up right now.
Carl, you have some thoughts on that?
I don't think. I was actually talking to two guys that went to Mizzou yesterday, and they're like, the SEC is just too stacked.
So strong, mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think they were saying they might be an 8 or 9 seed.
Really?
There could only be 4. Like, there could only be 4.
That would really surprise me.
Number 4 seats. So, yeah, we'll see.
I guess I just look at their, you know, they're ranked 15th right now, and they've been having some really great
games. You're
voting
with
upsets.
Your heart, not your head.
I know, I do it all the time. I'm guilty as charged. All right, quick break here. We're back in just a minute. In case you're wondering, no, I didn't win Real or Fake and schedule all the music today, although I love it. On this date in 1978, that album dropped. One of the greatest albums in rock history, baby. Van Halen 1.
It rewrote how people played guitar.
Yeah, it did. It's true.
The double tapping?
The tapping, which wasn't new, but Eddie took it to a new level. Let's put it that way. Unbelievable. All right, great, great, great album there for sure. And Kim says, Van who?
She knows.
Sorry, I was hitting in a quick nap.
That's okay. she wouldn't know him if she ran across him in an alley.
Nope.
But that's okay. I've been watching as the left has melted down here about Elon Musk. Senator Chris Murphy this weekend on one of the shows. I don't know if this was this morning or yesterday. Here's what he said about Elon Musk. Listen.
And so, yes, this is a red alert moment when this entire country has to understand that our democracy is at risk. And for what? The billionaire takeover of government.
Our democracy is at risk from billionaires. Like, it was never at risk from George Soros, but it's at risk now because Elon Musk is pointing out wasteful spending. Listen to Mike Turner. Took him to task.
But let's be clear, also, to counter what the senator just said, we do not have a constitutional crisis. What we're doing right now is the executive branch is trying to get control over the executive branch. Unfortunately, sometimes on the left, they view the bureaucracy as a fourth branch of government and that it's not to be touched. In this instance, we have Elon Musk and the president of the United States going over to the bureaucracy and saying, we're going to tame you. We're going to pull you back under the executive branch. We're going to look at ways in which we can find savings. And we're going to bring this spending curve down.
Yeah, thank you. That's all of this reaction is to this. And I've been watching with some joy all of the liberals that I'm still friends with on Facebook. A lot from my TV days going on. This is just wrong. How can he cut these? Reposting, you know, long posts from people whose jobs have been affected because somebody in USAID is not getting a grant anymore. Cry me a river. There's no way you can defend the amount of money that's being wasted by our federal government. You just can't do it. And to watch them melt down over it. Really, you'd rather us keep wasting millions of dollars on LGBTQ comic books in South America? I mean, you can't defend this stuff. Nobody can. Carl, very quickly, before I get to this breaking news here, play cut number 9 from our defense secretary, please.
I think the single dumbest phrase in military history is our diversity is our strength. I think our strength is our unity. Our strength is our shared purpose, regardless of our background, regardless of how we grew up, regardless of our gender, regardless of our race. In this department, we will treat everyone equally.
Thank you, Pete Hegseth. For the didn't earn it people out there, he's laying it straight. The military is, for God's sake, the one place we need people to be ranked by meritocracy. Where you get the job done is the most important thing. Nobody cares what color you are or who you like to sleep with. Here's the text from Donald Trump this morning. Actually, it's a Truth Social post. Our service academies have been infiltrated by woke leftist ideologies over the last 4 years. I've ordered the immediate dismissal of the Board of Visitors for the Army, Air Force, Navy, and Coast Guard. We will have the strongest military in history, and that begins by appointing new individuals to these boards. We must make the military academies great again. That was 34 minutes ago from Trump. He's been busy this morning. He also announced an ambassador to Finland.
I'm just looking forward to 2 years down the road, halfway through his term, and seeing where we're at, because it will take time for some of these changes that he's making to actually be, you know, effective, right? But to see if the average American family just feels better off, you know, feels like things are more affordable.
I felt better off when they were playing the national anthem last night and they cut away to Trump and he's saluting sharply and the crowd just went crazy. You can hear him in the background. It was a strange version of the national anthem, but nevertheless, a touching moment last night. All right, we are going to leave here and let Brian Kilmeade come on here at the top of the hour. I'm sure he'll cover the big game since a bunch of them were down there yesterday and got to actually see it in person. Maybe he's got the day off. You think Kilmeade's got the day off? Because he was out too late for the Super Bowl?
I
don't know.
I bet he does.
Annie and Mark will be in after that. We'll see you back here Tuesday morning. Take care.
Get more at 971talk.com.